All hero stories are mainly about the hero's outstanding life and end with his final death. The Gospel of Luke, which we read today about the life of Jesus, seems to be the same. Most of this book is about Jesus coming to this earth to teach the truth of the kingdom of God and the healing the hearts and bodies and souls of many people. And the death of Jesus is the final end of this story. And the only one chapter, chapter 24, which is the last chapter of this book, and we read part of today, talks about what happens after Jesus' death. But actually, this final chapter is not merely an appendix to the heroic story of this Jesus of this book. Rather, this last one chapter is the final climax of the entire book, And the rest part of the book, which is the main stories of Jesus' heroic life, is the introduction to this last chapter. So this Gospel of Luke, including other three Gospels, seems like an unbalanced book in that the introduction is far much more longer than the main text. But we can also think that Luke had to tell an incredibly long story of Jesus' life in order to tell this last chapter, which he really wanted to tell to his readers. How important was this last chapter that most part of this book is devoted to explaining this short last chapter? Today's passage begins with a group of women, and they are seeking for the dead Jesus. In verse 1. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. The reason why the women went there is obvious, because they took the spices with them. The punishment Jesus received was crucifixion. Crucifixion was the most brutal punishment given to the most horrible criminals in the Roman Empire at the time. So there was no way the empire would allow a proper burial for a horrible criminal who died like that. The women did not want Jesus' body to be left like that. So they tried to clean and adorn his body with these spices. Perhaps they went to his body in sadness for his death and in gratitude for the forgiveness and the miraculous deliverance Jesus had given them before he died. The reason they went looking for Jesus' dead body was because of the teachings and the love that he had shown them in the past. They were so grateful for that they even tried to take care of the dead body from which Jesus' teachings and love had completely departed. Although it is not mentioned in the Gospel of Luke, among these women, Mary Magdalene even wept when she saw that Jesus' body was gone. They really took care of this dead body. This was the heart of those who sought the dead Jesus. Jesus, his teachings were really great. I think he was a really loving and morally good person who was a role model for humanity. How many people are still thinking like this? Those who believe in the teachings of Christ but regard him only as a great moral guide. Those who even believe in this, in his power, but treat him like a powerful machine, they need help with only when they need it. Those people may seek Jesus, but they may not find the true Jesus, just as the women sought him but did not find him. What does the angels say to them? In verse 5, why do you seek the living among the dead? What does it mean? This means that the place they had to go to meet Jesus Christ was not the tombs where the dead were, because he rose from the dead. He is not here. He has risen. In verse 6. This is the most important words in the entire human history. He has risen. Why? Because most of people believe that there is no resurrection of the dead. Because they believe there is nothing after death. They feel hopeless, seeking temporary joy, power, comfort, morals and teachings that are only necessary while they are alive. But isn't death the undeniable truth that we mortals must face most honestly? To these mortals who seek a hope in the hopeless place, Luke is saying through these angels, he has risen. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Why do you seek those temporary good things and teachings? Why do you seek life in the place of death? Why do you seek salvation in a place where there is only despair? Salvation from death is not there, but in Jesus Christ. Because he has risen from the dead, and as he has risen from the dead, we will also rise from the dead. As we can see in John chapter 11, 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. Why should I believe that Jesus was resurrected? If you give me a medical record of Jesus, I will believe. A college student asked an evangelist this question. And then the evangelist replies, would you believe Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle without looking at their medical records? It's true that scientifically proving the resurrection of Jesus is very difficult. That's why many people find it difficult to believe in the resurrection of Jesus. Even the disciples did not believe in the resurrection of Jesus at first, as you can see in verse 11. They did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. It's nonsense that dead people rise. But let us assume that the resurrection of Jesus is not true. Then what problem arises then? First, you will have to face what Jesus said. In verses 6 to 7, remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Jesus said this. Jesus was not crazy. He was the one of great integrity. He was honest, never lied. And he had a great reputation for powerfully healing and restoring people. Can you deny what he said? But let's assume you can. Let's assume you can. What about his disciples? What about his disciples? Do you know what happened to those who ridiculed the resurrection of Jesus in today's passage as nonsense or an idle tale? They sacrificed their lives and became martyrs for that nonsense. Did they lose their minds for a moment? What does this drastic change tell us? It clearly tells us that something tremendous has happened to them. Likewise, if you assume that the resurrection of Jesus is not true, you have to continuously face numerous testimonies and witnesses from the Bible and the actual history. Can you refute or deny all of this? I'm not going to try to fully prove the resurrection of Jesus right now. But lastly, I would like to put one undeniable question on your honest hearts. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Why do you live as if you will live forever in a place where you live momentarily? Why do you seek the immortal in the mortal? What are you seeking is not there, but in Jesus Christ, because He has risen. He has really risen from the dead. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, He has risen from the dead. Thank you, Father, for your salvation through Jesus Christ. Because He has risen from the dead, we will also rise from the dead. Thank you for this wonderful hope for us. And help us to properly respond to Jesus' resurrection in our lives. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.